League of Women Voters. And good morning, young lady. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, we've got a lot going on. You're coming up on a significant milestone with the League of Women Voters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we are in the midst of planning some big celebrations in 2020,
mm-hmm.
because it's been 100 years since women got the right to vote.
100 years.
Wow. And the League was actually started right after women got the vote by Carrie Chapman Catt. And it was to help them get used to voting, understand, mm-hmm. you know, be comfortable with voting, be informed. And so the League has been linked with that from way back.
Well, it seems to, we were talking about this right before we went on live, is that I was shocked, I say, as a young man going to school, and I learned that it took an act of Congress to allow women to vote. I said, well, wait a minute, you've not lived in my house, you know, because we had men and women and girls and everything else, and it seemed like everything was pretty much 50-50, and I just could never imagine anything like that.
It was a long, hard struggle. It took many, many years and a lot of sacrifice on some people's parts, a lot of just hard work, and and it almost didn't happen. It wasn't a guaranteed thing at all.
It wasn't guaranteed at all, and I understand that there was quite a bit of a uproar about this, and I, to be quite honest with you, I really couldn't understand it.
I think now where we stand, it's kind of puzzling. But back then, yes, there were. I've just been reading this book that we're going to highlight during one of the presentations called The Woman's Hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just covers the whole suffragist movement. And so there were the group of women, some people call them suffragettes, but they really prefer to be called suffragists.
Uh-huh.
But there were two groups of women. There were the suffs, they call them the suffs. I didn't know that till recently. And there were the antis. So there were women who were against women's suffrage, and along with a lot of men, you know, it would be a big change for them, for both genders. But and it was kind of in the book. I was particularly interested by the young woman who was an anti, and her mother had been very much against women getting the right to vote, and she was on her deathbed and made her daughter promise that she would fight against it, and I think. Some of the thinking was that they wanted to protect the sanctity of womanhood, you know, and not be sullied by the dirty politics or just be in places where they might be offended or it'd be too rough or whatever, you know, protect the flower of womanhood.
Uh-huh.
That was part of the thinking. And it's interesting to think about that.
Wow, that is, you know, because, you know, when you think about it, well, women don't have the right to vote, and that's that, you know, you kind of get that mindset, and then not thinking that these fellows thought that they were actually being gentlemen by saying, yeah, you don't want to be a part of this, come on, you know,
that,
come on.
Certainly that was part of it with some of them, and maybe some of them didn't really want to have those women getting too uppity or be too independent because they... You know, they might not take care of the children. They might be out running around doing all sorts of things if they got the chance
to vote.
Yeah, to vote.
Wow. you had something from 1930.
Yeah.
That caught my eye. Was this like a letter to the editoress?
Yeah, this just turned up recently with someone in Tulsa who found this in their records, in the League records. It was in a newsletter from the Bartlesville League of Women Voters. From 1930, and you can tell, it's a typewriter, and it was typed on a typewriter. It's all
dated. Yeah, it's got that pitch.
It looks very authentic, but it's a letter to the editor of the paper in Kansas, and it's written by a young boy, or it's alleged to be written by a young boy.
Okay.
Can I read just a little bit
of
that?
Oh, read all you want on that. That'd be great.
Dear editress.
Dear editress.
Last week I saw in your column 30 reasons why women should vote. Now, I'm only a boy, but I expect to be a man someday. But I don't want the girls to be at the polls voting, too. So I'm going to submit to you 30 reasons why women should not vote.
30?
I'm not going to read all 30. I have heard them given by my grandpa and my pa and my uncle and my big brother. So I'm just going to read some of them. One is because men have more physical strength than women. Because a woman's brain weighs 5 ounces less than a man's.
Really?
Because women will have to work the roads. Because women will have to sit on juries. Because women will become office seekers, and there are not enough offices to go around.
Oh, man.
Because women will not have time to take care of their children.
Uh-oh.
Also, they would vote like their husbands. And if they didn't, there would be family quarrels. Because women will become more independent. I think he was right on target with that one. Because they will be less likely to marry. And because a large number of men don't want women to vote.
Oh.
And I intend to be counted among them when I grow up. Yours for protection of men's rights, a young Oklahoman. I just had to smile at some of these. And it really kind of, they seem so ridiculous now.
Yes.
But anyway, it's kind of priceless. I was glad to get it. I was really glad to get it. So we do kind of take things for granted that we've always had.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have not always been very knowledgeable about the fight for the right to vote for mm-hmm. women. And I've just learned a lot from being in the League of Women Voters here.
Very good. We're talking with Connie LaVoy. She's the president of the League of Women Voters of Bartlesville. Now, we also have voter education and registrations going on. We're gearing up for a big general election, mm-hmm. of course. We do that on even years. And we have, of course, the milestone coming up here, the 100-year mm-hmm. anniversary. So you got the, it's 1-2 going on here.
It's a busy year. And I just came on as president, so I'm really, it's a steep learning curve for me. But it's very exciting. We always do, the League has for many, many years done regular voter registration.
Uh-huh.
We're always twice a year at the Bartlesville Public Library, and we go to Rogers State University and Tri-County Tech, and then other places too. Sometimes someone calls us and says, will you come out and help people register to vote? So we come out, we bring the registration forms, we bring information mm-hmm. about the election and can answer questions. And the questions we can't answer, we give people the information on how to talk to the election board so that we're there both to help people mm-hmm. learn about what's going on and get ready to vote. And it takes less than 5 minutes to register to vote.
It does, but there are some who would say, oh, boy, that just seems like that's a lot of encumbrance. That's a lot of time. And it's really just 5 minutes.
Well, that's why we go to where people are, just to make it mm-hmm. easier than, here in Oklahoma, we can't register online.
No.
So it's a paper. You have to fill out a paper. But it is very simple. And it's for people, young people who haven't ever registered before, or sometimes older people have not registered. And that's kind of exciting when somebody who hasn't been registered does register to vote. We also were able to do updates. If someone's just moved, like you have, change their name if they got married, or they want to change their political affiliation. And all of that is just, we just make it easier. Then at the end of the day, we take all the registration forms and we take them directly to the election board.
Wow.
And because we're nonpartisan, we're just completely neutral. We don't talk politics. We don't ever support an individual candidate or party. We are really there just to try to help citizens become involved in their government and democracy. That's what we're there for.
Very good. Very good. Now, do you have a lot of these registration drives set up to go here? I imagine as the clock starts ticking toward, mm-hmm. about this time next year.
Yes.
Oh, it'll be crazy.
Well, yes. We always do our registrations. We do some in the fall and some in the spring. And I forgot to mention, but we do go into Bartlesville High School and do presentations to the government classes, and we can register them right then if they're 18.
18, yeah.
Yeah. And so National Voter Registration Day is September 24th. So we really like to blitz it and put do a lot of work in September every year, and we'll be at the Bartlesville Public Library in the lobby on Wednesday, September 25th. Mm-hmm. We'll also be doing, as I said, Rogers State University and Tri-County Tech, and also Westside Community Center is having an event, a forum, and there will be the opportunity to register to vote there. And we're still working on getting additional sites, just really revving up to get people ready to vote.
So oftentimes, and I've seen this over the years, oh, I can't wait for Election Day. I'm going to, oh, I can't wait. Oh, yeah, that thing. And you can be as enthusiastic as you want to be, but if you're not registered, it's not going to help you.
That's right. And, you know, your vote is your voice. It's just something that it's a privilege that not everybody has mm-hmm. in every country. So, we just like for people to become involved in it and learn more. And one of the things that we offer that we'll be doing again in the fall uh-huh. is we have an Oklahoma voter guide. And it's nonpartisan. And last time we had it was really popular. We had 6 state questions, for one thing. And that was a lot for people to sort through. So I think that was the most popular feature. We had information about candidates that they shared the information, and we printed what they said mm-hmm. in response to our questions. But on the state questions, they had how it would appear on the ballot, and then they had it paraphrased in, like, real layman's terms. Mm-hmm. And then we had 2 columns side by side, pro and con. So we went to the people who were supporting that state question and yes. asked them, why are you supporting it? Went to the people who were against it, why are you against it? And people could just compare and make up their own minds. And so we had lots of copies, paper copies. We have it online. And we got some financial support to do that because it's a huge job. It was all over the state. They were all in the libraries. And again, it's the most popular thing, I think, the best response that I've ever seen from people. Because they had a lot to decide, and they really wanted to have the information, and they wanted information they could trust, you know?
Yeah, that's hard sometimes. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And so that's why we really guard our reputation for being nonpartisan. And that means we don't support a political party or an individual. There are times when the league does take a position on an issue after a study and consensus. So that can be a little confusing at times, but it's never a party or an individual candidate. Mm-hmm. We also have forums, candidate forums. So we have them for the judges, the city council, this just all the elected politicians, the local ones, mm-hmm. where we have a debate. But it's not like the debates on TV. Mm-hmm. It's very civil, and it's very structured, and they don't get hateful.
They don't get silly, huh?
We keep them in line, you know, and they don't mind being in line. They're pretty much gentlemen and gentlewomen. I might talk a little bit more about the celebration if we have
more
time.
Please do. You got it.
So the Women's Network, which is a local group here, and the League of Women Voters, some of our mission is overlaps, and it overlaps in terms of voting. They're uh-huh. very much involved with supporting women and supporting their voting. And so together we're partnering, and we're having a series of events. The first one is going to be in March, on Saturday, March 28th. And you'll be hearing more about it because we're doing lots of advertising for it. Mary O'Toole, who's a local individual who's mm-hmm. done many book reviews and is very well known, she will be talking about this book, The Woman's Hour. And we'll also have some local women portraying some of these figures in history in the movement, like Susan B. Anthony, Sojourner Truth, and Carrie Chapman Catt. They'll be in period costume, and they'll be doing the portrayals. And then in August, we're bringing a storyteller who will do an historical reenactment called My Mother's Dream, My Daughter's Hope. And she's going to portray Elizabeth Cady Stanton's daughter. And she'll tell the story of the suffrage movement both nationally and in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. which was, you know, again, as we talked about, it was quite a struggle. And she's also going to go into the Bartlesville High School and Pawhuska High School and do presentations for students.
That's great.
Yeah. So, we do have a lot going on.
Oops, sorry about that. But once again, we are talking with Connie LaVoie. She is the League of Women Voters president right here in Bartlesville. And so much voter education and registration. I like that whole concept of having the ladies in period pieces and doing that presentation. It kind of brings it into context what they were really going through.
Yeah. There's a picture that I really like of women standing on the sidewalk. And the White House is in the background,
mm-hmm.
and they're holding signs, you know, give us the right to vote. We want to vote. And the women were arrested mm-hmm. for holding signs like that, and they went to jail.
So much for the First Amendment.
Yeah, and some of them went on hunger strikes.
Oh, boy.
And were force-fed, things I didn't even know anything about. I mean, I'm talking about real sacrifices there. And it is fun, the kind of getting that period costume, and it's going to be a wonderful night. It'll be at the community center, the big event. Both of those events I talked about will be at the community center meeting, the main meeting room. So we're just gearing up for that, and it'll be fun.
Well, one thing that we've learned since moving to Oklahoma is that you're allowed to vote on a lot of different issues. We had a school mm-hmm. bond referendum. We had that, the other, a tax sunset and what have you. These are things that other states don't have.
Well, Oklahoma's pretty unique. I just kind of heard about that recently because I guess I've been most of the time in Oklahoma. But, people can make up a petition and they can get something to be voted on. And if an issue like, you know, recently there was one about medical marijuana, for example. And I didn't even realize that that's not the case in every state.
No, they usually keep that to, either the general election or the maybe a primary or something like that, or maybe just a local election. Mm-hmm. They would put that on as a question at the end in other states. Mm-hmm. But really here in Oklahoma, we're afforded a great deal of a voice, and I just wish people would use it more.
And we also have I just like to say that locally we have a very, very good election board.
Yeah, we do.
They do a great job, and they're known over the state to do a good job, and we're very lucky to have that.
Very good. If people want to get a hold of you if they have questions or maybe they would like to invite you to come out mm-hmm. and make a presentation mm-hmm. or a voter drive, how would they do that?
Well, they could go online and just Google League of Women Voters of Bartlesville, and we have a website, and we have a Facebook presence too.
Mm-hmm.
And they can always contact me. It's a little town, so I've got my phone number on our little brochure, and at the library, they know how to get in touch with me too.
Well, thanks for sharing some history and a whole lot of what's going on here currently. I really appreciate spending time with you here, Connie, and please come back.
Thank you. I would love to.
All righty. And that